Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host today. And with me, I have Andrea Lamer. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you. Thank you to you and to all the listeners here at WJBM.
Well, yes. And I understand. Actually, Erica Heitzig, she's told me, she goes, I saw her actually at George's last week. We were sitting there and talking, and she says, oh, you've got to get Andrea Lamer in for an interview. She teaches Spanish at Jersey. She's also a liaison between the Spanish-speaking kids and their parents, and does so much for the kids, always volunteering for everything. She said, oh, yeah, you are the one. You are pretty special, according to Erica. So I had to bring you on.
That was very kind of her. But honestly, I feel like kind of pale in comparison to most of the teachers at Jersey Community High School. I feel like everyone is always involved in everything. And we just came off of a kind of an amazing homecoming week. It was filled with fun activities. Yeah. And it was really fun to be part of that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of good action going on at
that's
the
for
school.
Sure. Everywhere, for sure. Everywhere you look, there's something really special going on.
Yeah, they always got something going on. We had the ag teacher, Sarah Nichols, in. She's active. Boy, she's got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah,
that FFA has got some stuff going on.
They certainly do. And they're going to Nationals next week. So
yeah, that's exciting. That. Mm-hmm. So, Andrew, you said you grew up here in Jerseyville or Jersey County?
Yep. I was born here in Jersey County in the old hospital here in Jerseyville. And I lived my entire young life here. Graduated from Jersey Community High School in 88.
Yeah.
Went to St. Louis University. So, stay close by for that part, and then my path diverged a little bit. I
What did you major in at St. Louis U?
Biology.
Biology. Mm-hmm. Okay. What were you going to do with that?
Well, I thought about possibly down the road teaching, and I wasn't really sure yet, and so I wanted to take kind of a larger step and kind of amplify my worldview a little bit, and so I joined the Peace Corps. With that.
Yeah, joined the Peace Corps. Yeah. All right, so. What is the Peace Corps like? How do you join the Peace Corps?
Well, it is a federal organization, right? So it belongs to the United States government, and you have to go through a process where they screen you, and then they select a country for you, and they send you to that country.
You don't get to pick a country.
Well, I don't know anymore, but at the time that I served, no. You went where they sent you, or you could wait. You could defer and then wait till on down the line and see if they sent you to a different place.
Do the countries, are most of the countries in South America?
No, they're actually all across the world. And it tends to coincide with places that we might be assisting or that the United States might have some other interest in. And it's part of the Peace Corps volunteer's job is to represent your country well. So kind of be on your best behavior and bring kind of the best attributes that you can to the country that you're visiting.
Being named the Peace Corps, is the mission to bring peace or what?
We always say that like peace comes with justice, right? Or peace comes with availability of peoples to do what they need to do. And so basically we go and empower people to do things that to make them more competitive, you know, in the world in general. So my areas were agriculture and conservation, land conservation that I worked in when I went there.
So you would go, were you working at a school or were you working for that government or where were you actually
I was
at?
Located in a small community on the outside of the capital of San Salvador. So I was in a very rural community. And I worked mostly with supporting the protection of a natural area there. And I also helped with the reforestation projects that the communities had when we're building. And for me, the first 6 months was about, you know, learning new language, and learning from the people and learning that, you know, you can survive and have fun and thrive even, you know, without all the resources we enjoy here.
Did you have, of course, you had other members of the Peace Corps with you, correct?
For training, yes, but you do get put in your side alone. So you go to a community. Yeah.
All by yourself. Do you stay at someone's house or do you stay in a hotel or where do you stay at?
I started off in people's homes. And then when I moved to the nearby community, I stayed in the old office building of a cooperative. So I had my own little place there. But I took my meals with a family and I spent my free time with that family doing things with them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you ever feel a little nervous or a little scared about being in another country like El Salvador?
Well, sure. That first day that they dropped us off in the community, even though, you know, we were trained and I thought I knew the language pretty well. But when you first start talking to people, you realize I might have improved on my conversational Spanish a little bit more. But it was really nerve wracking. I got dropped off in the community. My person that I was supposed to meet wasn't there. I was pretty much sitting on my luggage there in the middle of the road on the side of the road waiting for the community come get me. And finally someone did. I kind of wandered in and I said, does anybody know me? You know, I'm supposed to go to a house here somewhere. And I think it's this person. And they were really just a wonderful family. And that family had about 10 people in it. And yeah. I ended up sharing a bed with a young lady whose job it was to make the coffee at 4:30 every morning. And there was no alarm clock. So
wait a minute. You shared a bed with a lady. Was it a member of the household?
Yes.
Okay.
She was about my age. Yeah. Yeah.
You guys had to share a bed, huh?
We did. Yeah. And it was her job to make coffee at 4:30 in the morning every morning.
For the family.
Yeah. And so her mom would call across the room. It's like, Elena, get up. But in Spanish, of course, right? Get up. And then she would just always roll over and I'd be like, Elena, go ahead and get up. So finally, I just started getting up and making the coffee because it was way too early to lay there and not have her get up. So I started doing that. But yeah, it was an amazing family, amazing community. But my work was about 6 miles away.
Yeah.
So it was pretty hard to catch the bus at that time because for such a small trip, they didn't want to stop. So I ended up moving to the other community, and that's why I stayed in the cooperative.
Okay. Did you have a point in time, especially early on, that you were second guessing going into the Peace Corps, or were you always confident that it would work?
Oh no, there's days like days when I'm not able to communicate what I want to communicate because it is a second language for me, and I struggle with the feedback, and people are like, "We just don't understand you." Like, I'm trying my best, you know, but so that can be pretty discouraging, and then maybe not having patience with myself as I'm learning what the work is to be expected to be is done.
I can relate a little bit, as I was told you before we went on the air. I had three Venezuelan brothers that came over. It was a few years ago, and their brother lived here, and he wanted to bring them over, but he needed for a place for them to stay, and he needed some work for them. And I said, yeah, bring them on, you know, I'd love to have them. And it was Louis, Ronnie, and Miguel, and they were like from 23 to 28 years old. And the language barrier, you know, the language barrier existed for sure. But I learned two words, okay, that were very important. Maybe you could relate to this, I don't know. But when I was having them work and do things for me, was bueno and no bueno.
Yeah, those
good,
will work.
Good, no good.
Yes, for me, the word was close in the sound of it, but baño was word I was really interested in was the bathroom. Where's the bathroom, right? Like, I need to know where that is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so language, that can be a great, it can be really frustrating, but also can be a great conversation starter. Because I know when I first visited the family, I said, you got to take them a gift. And we had to pick them up in Miami because that's where we were stationed before we left the country. And so I was like, what can I give this family? And there's just a stand there. And so I got them an assembly of soap and like the bath soaps and the different kind of lotions. Like everybody likes soap, right? Like it just this is a family warming gift. Well, they didn't even have a bathtub or a shower, right? They had what looks like a giant sink. It's called a pila. And you basically stick a bucket in it and you splash water on yourself to take a bath. And so when I got there, I said.
Like in the kitchen?
It's outside.
Oh, it's outside.
Yeah, so you have to go outside and there's like a little partition there. So you have some privacy, but sometimes you might decide to take a bath with your clothes on because you don't want to be that exposed. But the people asked me what gift I had brought them, what did I have? And I couldn't think of the word for soap, which is jabón. So I said, I like sometimes cognates work, which are words that sound like, that sound like. So I said sopa. And she's like, sopa? Are you sure? And I was like, yes, I think it's sopa. And then so she took it and she said, thank you. And I noticed that night everybody was having beans and tortillas except for me. And I had a little bowl of strawberry soap that she had made, like she had fixed it up. She's like, we don't like it, but we thought you'd like to have some of the soup that you brought us. Oh. And then I was like, nope, sopa is not, does not mean soap. And so I went and got my little dictionary, which because we didn't have phones or anything at that time, right? And I looked it up and I was like, nope, that is, soap is jabón. So this is not sopa, right? This is not soup. And she's like, oh, that's what we thought, but we didn't want to be rude, right? So I end up having, a first taste of my own strawberry soap that I brought him.
I see. Now, let's see here. You talked about going on a river trip. Was that in the same area, Salvador, where you went on the river trip?
Well, after the Peace Corps, I ended up working with an international development organization in Central America. And they said, well, here's a small budget. It was like $1,000 and you're supposed to do something of a large impact for the environment. And like, what can you do for, with $1,000 for that? So we decided to get the media involved and we had a tri-national river trip. We started in Guatemala and we ended up in the Pacific, actually. So we went through Guatemala, Honduras, and Pacific. It was a 400-mile river trip, and it took us about 20 days to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Andrea Lamer with me. She teaches at Jersey, teaches Spanish.
I teach Spanish, yep. And I teach Spanish to Spanish learners and English to English learners.
Yeah. Quick question. How many students do we have at the high school that are only speak Spanish and are learning English? What would you say?
Well, we have, it varies depending on the year. So last year we had a big influx of beginner Spanish beginner English speakers. And we had about, in the high school, we had about eight people in that program. But we have other people from other nationalities.
Yeah.
Who have other languages besides Spanish as well and learning English. And most of our students are very advanced in their English. But we do currently have at the high school two authentic Spanish speakers, who Spanish is their home language, who are what we call it like maybe at the end of the beginning stages of English learning. So they're doing really well. And they said that, what has been made them so successful is being able to make friends with the kids here from Jersey County, that the kids have been really friendly and they made fast friendships that have helped them to learn the language much faster.
Is that the easiest way to learn?
Oh, yeah. Friendship, having a relationship with people that speak that language is the best way ever to learn. And after that, it's curiosity. As long as you're open-minded and curious and immerse yourself in a language, you can learn it.
Yeah. I tried. I thought, well, I will try to learn Spanish, when I had my Venezuelan brothers, but I just wasn't very good. I just, I said, okay, I was going to learn Spanish, but actually you need to learn English worse than I need to learn Spanish. So, and they did somewhat, but they didn't work at it as hard as I wish they would have. I tried to get them to really work on it, but just the three of them, they did a lot of communicating. And, they're drawn to people that speak their language,
Which is easier. It's just easier to to make appointments and everything else if you got someone in your
Now in you your did corner. You did mention something about you felt like the Venezuelans were under a lot of pressure here. Here in Jerseyville, here in the country.
Oh, no, it's just, it's a difficult time to be an immigrant, especially from Central or South America here in the United States at this time, right? Yeah. And so it's just, there's a lot of changes going on. And so there is just a lot of pressure. And our students worry, you know, sometimes about that. Uh-huh.
Are they treated well at the school by the other students?
Yeah, I think so. For the most part, in any group, in any place, in the world, you're going to find people that can be reactionary, right? But for the most part, our students have been amazing with our Spanish speaking students.
That's
right?
Great.
For the most part,
mm-hmm. That doesn't surprise me. Yeah. Really.
And they've been curious, and sometimes our favorite field trip events have been with our English learners and our Spanish learners is to do a Spanglish event. And like last year, we went to the zoo, and our English learners got to take a Spanish learner with them. So one of the kids who are here from Jerseyville went along as a friend. And so we split up the time as like for the first part of the trip, you have to speak all English, both people, and for the second part of the trip, you all have to speak Spanish, and that way we're just learning together.
Sure.
Throughout.
Now, are you very fluent in Spanish?
I can speak Spanish. I wouldn't say I was like the best ever in the world, but I do have about 14 years. That river trip that we were talking about, that's where I ended up meeting my husband. He was the reporter assigned from the...
He went with you on the river trip?
Yeah, he was a television reporter and he went with us. So we spent that long trip, those 20 days together we spent on the river. And,
well, and you guys fell in love on the trip?
Not exactly.
Oh,
yeah,
he
was somewhat of a demanding person on that trip. So he was like the, we had to take a lot of care of for him, right? My guides, the river guides who were the ones who drove the boats were the, it was mostly white water. So I had white water river guides with us that we trained. And then as we went, we had to take very special care that, that he wouldn't fall in the water and get wet. And then the camera wouldn't get wet and things like that. But
I see. And he was doing the filming of the trip, I suppose.
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was the face, and then he had the cameraman with us too, Mario, and he was a nice guy too. But
so, how did you guys end up getting together?
Well, afterwards, we had an awards banquet where we celebrated everyone that went with us, and since we had the participation of three different countries, we brought people from each country with us to another part of another country, and that way they got to see how the water was used downstream, right? So up high, we brought the people from down low up high so they could see this is the watershed that we have to worry about. This is the country that is taking care of the water that we are taking advantage of. And then farther down, then they were able to see it too. Like there is a raw sewage plant right on the river.
Oh, really?
Yeah, along the way. And there's just not a whole lot that can be done with it yet. So that was one of the things. And the people from Guatemala were like, well, we're keeping the water clean and these guys are doing this.
Yeah.
And they're still taking the water out, for drinking.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge. It's a challenge.
Okay, but, now how about you and your hubby? How did you guys get together?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, at that awards banquet, he just came up and asked if I was going to do any other projects, and we were planning some other projects. So, and then we were going to go back into one of the dams on the river. It's if you could imagine like a James Bond movie, underground. That's what this dam operation looked like, and it was pretty interesting. And he came to cover that, and that's when we got to talking a little bit.
Yeah. And then he said, let's go out for dinner.
Yeah, actually, that's exactly what happened. Yeah.
And then after that, it was just Katie bar the door.
Yeah. Four kids later, we're still going strong.
Well, that's great. We have four children ourselves. So how old are your children?
Well, I have one, 23, 22. No, they're both 23 now. And then I have a 19-year-old who is in the AmeriCorps right now.
Really?
Yeah. And then I have a freshman at the high school.
What's the AmeriCorps?
The AmeriCorps is kind of the U.S.-based version of the Peace Corps. So their mission is to also go into communities and support the communities and learn themselves.
Here in the U.S.
Here in the U.S.
Help out communities.
Yeah.
Like give an example of a community they go to.
Well, she's on Squam Lake in New Hampshire.
Okay.
Which was where they filmed on Golden Pond. We just figured that out. But she'll be moving to Eastern Kentucky here at the end of next week. And then she's going to work in that area that had been flooded, you know, last year. That
right,
had,
right. Mm-hmm. I know we want to mention you have a Christmas party coming up and that people could help out with that.
Yeah. So this isn't actually mine, but in the school, I always think about when people say, how can I help out? You know, how could I help maybe these students that are learning English or just students in general? But we do have students with really critical need in our schools. And you wouldn't, something you maybe don't think about, but there are some students that aren't going to get any Christmas presents this year, right? That don't have any expectation of that. And so the school does try to look at who these kids are. And then ask for support. So typically the support comes from teachers and other people in the community that are interested in helping out. And so we get a gift list, some things that kids might need or want or mm-hmm. Ask for. And then we try to fulfill that.
So how many kids are we talking about?
You know, I'm not really sure.
Population of how many kids in high school?
I think maybe I'm going to put this number out there, and I hope Genevieve Mossman, who is in charge of this program, doesn't get mad at me.
Well, I mean, how many total kids do we have in high school?
I don't even.
600?
I'm not sure. I know maybe? I see it every day about 125, personally.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So what do you think as far as kids that are in need?
Probably, I want to say maybe around between 60 and 100 okay. maybe is the school are the kids that we try to meet the needs of through this program.
So if somebody was listening to this and they go, you know, I'd like to help out, would they just write a check, or would they have some gifts they want to give, or do you recommend?
I mean, of course, money. Everyone likes money, right? So, and what would happen with that is it would go towards the program, and then the teachers would go out and actually buy the gifts.
Sure.
So the kids don't get money, would buy the gifts that are on their wish list. And if they prefer, they could do, if they want to help out with wrapping or things like that, I think that the teachers would probably be interested in getting some support with that, and they could reach out to the school. Or if they want to try, gift cards to establishments here in Jerseyville are always really welcome too, because it's a special treat for the kids to be able to, go out to eat and have some money of their own to do that.
Okay, so a gift card from a restaurant mm-hmm. or a gift card at a local store.
Sure.
Yeah.
And if your heart doesn't pull you in that direction where you want to get Christmas gifts for people, other alternatives exist to help out the students at the school, like through the PAC. Which helps our athletes become the best athletes that they can. Or if your preference is toward the arts, there's the Theater Friends. We do amazing performances every year.
Oh, yeah.
And that could always use support. We're just going to get better, better and better with these programs. And so every type of support that we get from the community really helps. But if you're thinking maybe I'd like to support kids for their journey after high school, there are different ways to support that too, like the District 100 Foundation Scholarship Fund, where they have activities throughout the year. And also the Danny Fraley Memorial Scholarship Fund. They have a trap shoot coming up November 1st. And mm-hmm. so if you're interested in that, your listeners could reach out and participate in these events. And that would be such a help to prepare scholarships for the futures of all these kids.
Well, good to know. And they could contact you, or who do they contact?
They could always reach out to me, Andrea Lamer, uh-huh. And I'm at jersey100.org, and I'll try to get them to the right person, mm-hmm. right? Or if they have a better contact than me, they could look up on Facebook, like for the PAC or the Theater Friends. We'd definitely get you set up.
We're just about to run out of time, but one thing I'd like for you to answer a question for me. What was, you went to the Peace Corps and you experienced all this. What was the biggest lesson that you learned that you'd like to share? There could be somebody thinking about, a young person thinking about, following your footsteps, going to the Peace Corps, helping others. What was the biggest lesson you learned by going that route?
Yeah, well, I'm so glad you asked that, because there's quite a few that I learned, but mostly is like we're all the same. Like no matter where you are on this planet, we're all people, and our hearts beat all the same. Our blood runs all the same. We love. We want to be successful. We face hardships, and everybody does the best that they can. And we have to just all try to be accountable for our decisions and how we interact with others. And if we can approach that with love, it's so much better. Like, just take a breath and give people a chance. The world can be such a better place, because no one is who they are, like on their worst day, And then we all have bad days. And I guess, you know, if someone is thinking about doing this, like, try, ask, and ask for anything that you want or anything that you need. Try things out. There's no shame or regret in failure, right? If you go out there and you don't like it, well, at least you tried.
Yeah.
The only regret there is not trying.
Not trying.
Yeah, oh, that's yeah. the only one.
I hear you.
And when you feel like, you know, like if you ever get down and you feel like you can't, you know, move forward yourself, you know, all you have to do is just try to help somebody else. That takes all the pressure off you trying to make yourself feel better, and you can just go out, be useful to somebody else, and you start feeling a little bit better about yourself.
I think so. I think that is definitely some good advice.
And well, it's stuff that people have told me, and, you know, hard lessons
learned. And it works.
Yeah.
Well, Andrea, thanks so much for coming in. Appreciate you coming in, and keep doing the good work that you do.
Well, thank you. Thanks to people like you. I think we all can.
Oh, well, great.
Yeah.
Thanks.